hunt each other for love will never be satisfied. They will never find the love they need in other humans. The mind feels the need, but we cannot fulfill it because it isn't there. It's never there. The love we need to hunt is inside ourselves. But that love is difficult prey. You have to be very fast as Hermes, because anything can distract you from your goal. If you can capture the prey, you will see that your love can grow strong inside you, and it can fulfill all your needs. This is so important for your happiness. Usually, humans go into relationships as the hunter. They look for what they feel they need in the other person, only to find it's not there. When you enter a relationship without this need, it's a different story. How do you hunt inside yourself? To capture the love inside yourself, you have to surrender yourself as both the hunter and the prey. Who is the hunter? Who is the prey? In ordinary people, the hunter is the parasite. The parasite knows everything about you, and what the parasite wants are the emotions that come from fear. The parasite is a garbage eater. It loves fear and drama, anger and jealousy. It loves any emotion that makes you suffer. Your self-abuse as the parasite is hunting you 24 hours a day. So we become the prey of the parasite, a very easy prey. The parasite is the one who abuses you. It is more than a hunter. It is a predator, and it is eating you alive. The prey, the emotional body, is that part of us that suffers and suffers. It's that part of us that wants to be redeemed. Becoming the hunter is the first step. To hunt inside yourself, you start by hunting every reaction you have. You're going to change one routine at a time. It is a war for freedom from the dream that controls your life. It is a war between you and the predator, with the truth in the middle. In all the Western traditions, from Canada to Argentina, we call ourselves warriors, because a warrior is the hunter who hunts herself. To be a warrior doesn't mean you will win the war, but at least you rebel, and you no longer accept that the parasite is eating you alive. When Hercules went into the forest in search of Artemis, he needed to become a better hunter than Artemis. To hunt yourself, you need to become a better hunter than the parasite. If the parasite is working 24 hours a day, you have to work 24 hours a day. The parasite has an advantage. It knows you very well. There is no way you can hide. The parasite tries to justify your behavior in front of other people. But when you are alone, it is the worst judge. It is always judging, blaming, and making you feel guilty. In a normal relationship in hell, the parasite of your partner aligns with your own parasite to make the suffering eternal. If you know that, you can make a difference. You can have more compassion for your partner. You can be happy every time your partner takes another step toward freedom. You can be aware that when your partner gets upset or sad or jealous, it's not the one you love that you're dealing with at the moment. It's a parasite that is possessing your partner. Knowing the parasite is there, and knowing what is going on in your partner, you can give your partner the space to deal with it. Since you are only responsible for your half of the relationship, you can allow her to deal with her own personal dream. In that way, it will be easy not to take personally what your partner is doing. This will help your relationship a lot, because nothing that your partner does is personal. If you don't take it personally, it will be so much easier for you to have a wonderful relationship with your partner.
Chapter 10. Seeing with Eyes of Love. If you look at your body, you will find billions of living beings who depend on you. Every cell in your body is a living being that depends on you. You are responsible for all of those beings. For all those living beings that are your cells, you are God. You can provide what they need. You can love all those living beings, or you can be so mean to them. The cells in your body are completely loyal to you. They work for you in harmony. We can even say they pray to you. You are their God. That is absolutely the truth. Now, what are you going to do with this knowledge? Remember, the whole forest was in complete harmony with Artemis. When Artemis fell, she lost respect for the whole forest. When she recovered her awareness, Artemis went from flower to flower to say, "I am sorry. Now I will take care of you again." And the relationship between Artemis and the forest became a love relationship again. The whole forest is your body, and if you just acknowledge this truth, you will say to your body, I am sorry. Now I will take care of you again. The relationship between you and your body, between you and all those living cells that depend on you, can become the most beautiful relationship. Your body and all those living cells are perfect in their half of the relationship, just like the dog is perfect in its half. The other half is your mind. Your body takes care of its half of the relationship, but the mind is the one that abuses the body, that mistreats the body, that gets so mean with the body. Just look at the way you treat your cat or your dog. If you can treat your body the same way you treat your pet, you will see that it's about love. Your body is willing to receive all the love from the mind, but the mind says, No, I don't like this part of my body. Look at my nose. I don't like my nose. My ears, they're too large. My body is too fat. My legs are too short. The mind can imagine all kinds of things about the body. Your body is perfect the way it is, but we have all those concepts about right and wrong, good and bad, beautiful and ugly. These are just concepts, but we believe them, and that's the problem. With the image of perfection we have in our mind, we expect our body to look a certain way, to act a certain way. We reject our own body when the body is completely loyal to us. Even when our body can't do something because of its limitations, we push our body, and our body at least tries. Look at what you do with your own body. If you reject your own body, what can other people expect from you? If you accept your own body, you can accept almost everyone, almost everything. This is a very important point when it comes to the art of relationship. The relationship you have with yourself is reflected in your relationships with others. If you reject your own body, when you are sharing your love with your partner, you become shy. You think, look at my body, how can he love me when I have a body like this? Then you reject yourself and make the assumption that the other person will reject you for the same thing you reject in yourself. And when you reject someone else, you reject him for the same things you reject in yourself. To create a relationship that takes you all the way to heaven, you have to accept your body completely. You have to love your body and allow your body to be free to just be free to give, free to receive, without being shy, because shy is nothing but fear. Imagine how you see your pet dog. You see the dog with eyes of love, and you enjoy the beauty of that dog. It doesn't make any difference whether that dog is beautiful or ugly. You can go into ecstasy just seeing the beauty of that dog because it's not about possessing beauty. Beauty is just a concept we learned. Do you think a turtle or a frog is ugly? You can see a frog, and the frog is beautiful. It's gorgeous. You can see a turtle, and it's beautiful. Everything that exists is beautiful. Everything. But you think, oh, that is ugly, because someone made you believe what is ugly and what is beautiful, just as someone made you believe what is good and what is bad. There's no problem at all with being beautiful or ugly, short or tall, thin or heavy. There's no problem with being gorgeous. What is important are not all those opinions from others, but your own opinions. You are beautiful no matter what your mind tells you. That is a fact. You already have all the beauty you need. Others are free to see whatever they want to see. If you are aware of your own beauty and accept your own beauty, their opinion doesn't affect you at all. Beauty is nothing but a concept, nothing but a belief. But you can believe in that concept of beauty and base all your power on that beauty. Time passes, and you see you are getting old. Perhaps you are not as beautiful as you were from your point of view, and a younger woman comes along who is now the one who is beautiful. Time for plastic surgery to try to keep the power, because we believe that our beauty is our power. Our own aging starts to hurt us. Oh, my God, my beauty is going away. Will my man still love me if I'm not as attractive? Now he can see other women who are more attractive than me. We resist aging. We believe that because someone is old, it means she is not beautiful. This belief is completely wrong. If you see a newborn baby, it is beautiful. Well, an old person is also beautiful. The problem is that we have all these judgments, all these programs that put limits on our own happiness, that push us to self-rejection and to reject other people also. Can you see how we play the drama, how we set ourselves up to fail with all these beliefs? Aging is something beautiful, just as growing up is beautiful. We grow from a child to a teenager to a young woman or a young man. It is beautiful. To become an old woman or an old man is also beautiful. You are what you believe you are. You have the right to feel beautiful and enjoy it. You can honor your body and accept it as it is. You don't need anyone to love you. Love comes from the inside. It lives inside us and is always there, but with that wall of fog, we don't feel it. You can only perceive the beauty that lives outside you when you feel the beauty that lives inside you. If you don't like yourself, you can change your belief and your life will change. It sounds simple, but it isn't easy. Whoever controls the belief controls the dream. When the dreamer finally controls the dream can become a masterpiece of art. Every day, when you shower or bathe, treat your body with all your love. Treat your body with honor, gratitude, and respect. When you eat, take a bite, close your eyes, and enjoy the food. That food is an offering to your own body, to the temple where God lives. Do this every day, and you will feel your love for your body growing stronger each day. Just imagine how you will feel the day you adore your own body. When you accept yourself completely and you relate with someone else, your limit of self-abuse is almost zero. This is self-love. This is not personal importance because you treat others with the same love, honor, respect, and gratitude that you use with yourself. Can you see the perfection in a relationship like that? It's about honoring the God inside each other. When you make it your goal to create the perfect relationship between you and your body, you are learning to have a perfect relationship with anyone you are with, including your mother, your friends, your lover, your children, your dog. When you have the perfect relationship between you and your body, in that moment, your half of any relationship outside you is completely fulfilled. You are never lonely anymore because you are fulfilled with your own love. Wherever you turn your face, you will be fulfilled by love, but not from other humans. You can see a tree and feel all the love coming from the tree to you. You can see the sky, and it's going to fulfill the needs of your mind for love. You will see God everywhere, and it will no longer be just a theory. God is everywhere. Life is everywhere. Everything is made by love, by life. Even fear is a reflection of love, but fear exists in the mind, and in humans, that fear controls the mind. Then we interpret everything according to what we have in our mind. Our emotions act like a filter through which we see the rest of the world. If we have fear, what we perceive will be analyzed with fear. You could say that the eyes are an expression of what you feel. You perceive the outside dream according to your eyes. When you are angry, you see the world with eyes of anger. If you have the eyes of sadness, you are going to cry because it's raining, because there is noise, because of everything. Rain is rain. There is nothing to judge or interpret, but you are going to see the rain according to your emotional body. If you are sad, you see with the eyes of sadness, and everything you perceive will be sad. But if you have the eyes of love, you just see love wherever you go. The trees are made with love. The animals are made with love. The water is made with love. When you perceive with the eyes of love, you can connect your will with the will of another dreamer, and the dream becomes one. When you perceive with love, you become one with the birds, with nature, with a person, with everything. This is the power of love. You can have a relationship that fulfills your dream of heaven. You can create a paradise, but you have to begin with you. Begin with complete acceptance of your body. Hunt the parasite and make it surrender. Then the mind will love your body and will no longer sabotage your love. It's up to you. It's not up to anyone else. But first, you are going to learn how to heal your emotional body.
Chapter 11, Healing the Emotional Body. Let's imagine once again that we have a skin disease with wounds that are infected. When we want to heal the skin and we go to a doctor, the doctor is going to use a scalpel to open the wounds. Then the doctor is going to clean the wounds, apply medicine, and keep the wounds clean until they heal and no longer hurt us. To heal the emotional body, we're going to do the same thing. We need to open the wounds and clean the wounds, use some medicine, and keep the wounds clean until they heal. How are we going to open the wounds? We're going to use the truth as a scalpel to open the wounds. 2,000 years ago, one of the greatest masters told us, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth is like a scalpel, because it is painful to open our wounds and uncover all of the lies. The wounds in our emotional body are covered by the denial system, the system of lies we have created to protect those wounds. When we look at our wounds with eyes of truth, we can finally heal these wounds. You begin by practicing the truth with yourself. When you are truthful with yourself, you start to see everything as it is, not the way you want to see it. You find that the injustice that created a wound is no longer true, right now, in this moment. You discover that perhaps what you believe hurt you so badly was never true. Even if it was true, it doesn't mean that now it is true. By using the truth, you open the wound and see the injustice from a new perspective. The truth is relative in this world. It's changing all the time, because we live in a world of illusions. What is true right now may not be true later. Then it could be true again. Our own denial system is so powerful that it becomes very complicated. There are truths covering lies and lies covering truth. Like peeling an onion, you uncover the truth little by little until in the end you open your eyes to find out that everyone around you, including yourself, is lying all the time. Almost everything in this world of illusion is a lie. That is why I ask my apprentices to follow 3 rules for seeing what is true. The first rule is, don't believe me. You don't have to believe me, but think and make choices. Believe what you want to believe according to what I say, but only if it makes sense for you, if it makes you happy. If it guides you into your awakening, then make the choice to believe it. I am responsible for what I say, but I am not responsible for what you understand. We live in a completely different dream. What I say, even if it is absolutely true for me, is not necessarily true for you. The first rule is very easy. Don't believe me. Rule number 2 is more difficult. Don't believe yourself. Don't believe all the lies you tell yourself. All those lies that you never chose to believe, but were programmed to believe. Don't believe yourself when you say you are not good enough, or strong enough, or intelligent enough. Don't believe your own boundaries and limitations. Don't believe you are unworthy of happiness or love. Don't believe you are not beautiful. Don't believe whatever makes you suffer. Don't believe in your own drama. Don't believe in your own judge or your own victim. Don't believe the inner voice that tells you how stupid you are. Don't believe it because it isn't true. Open your ears, open your heart, and listen. When you hear your heart guiding you to your happiness, then make a choice and stick to it. But don't believe yourself just because you say so, because more than 80% of what you believe isn't true. The second rule is a difficult one. Don't believe yourself. Rule number 3 is don't believe anyone else. Don't believe other people because they're lying all the time. When you no longer have emotional wounds, when you don't have the need to believe other people just to be accepted, you see everything more clearly. Don't believe others because they will use your own stupidity to manipulate your mind. Don't believe anyone who says she comes from Pleiades and wants to save the world. Bad news. We don't need anyone to come and save the world. The world is alive. It's a living being, and it's more intelligent than all of us together. Don't believe these mythologies. Nothing but common sense will guide you to your own happiness. Rule number 3 is difficult because we have the need to believe other people. Don't believe them. Don't believe me, don't believe yourself, and don't believe anyone else. By not believing, whatever is untrue will disappear like smoke in this world of illusion. You don't need to justify what is true. You don't need to explain it. What is true doesn't need your support. Your lies need your support. You need to create a lie to support the first lie, then another lie to support that lie. You create a big structure of lies, and when the truth comes out, everything falls apart. Most of the lies we believe simply dissipate if we don't believe them. The truth will always survive skepticism. What is truth is true. Believe it or not. The universe is made of stars. This is true. Believe it or not. Only what is true will survive, and that includes the concepts you have about yourself. We have said that when we were children, we didn't have the opportunity to choose what to believe and what not to believe. Well, now it is different. Now that we are grown, we have the power to make a choice. We can believe or not believe. Even if something is not the truth, we can choose to believe it just because we want to believe it. And if we are honest with ourselves, we will know that we're always free to make new choices. When we are willing to see with eyes of truth, we uncover some of the lies and open the wounds. Still, there is the poison inside the wounds. Once we open the wounds, we are going to clean the wounds of all the poison. How are we going to do this? The same master gave us the solution 2,000 years ago. Forgiveness. There is no other way but forgiveness to clean the wounds of all the poison. You must forgive those who hurt you, even if whatever they did to you is unforgivable in your mind. You will forgive them not because they deserve to be forgiven, but because you don't want to suffer and hurt yourself every time you remember what they did to you. No matter what others did to you, you are going to forgive them because you don't want to feel sick all the time. Forgiveness is for your own mental healing. You will forgive because you feel compassion for yourself. Forgiveness is an act of self-love. Let's take an example of a divorced woman. Imagine you have been married for 10 years, and for whatever reason you have a big fight with your husband over a big injustice. You get divorced, and you really hate your ex-husband. Just hearing his name, you feel a strong pain in your stomach, and you want to throw up. The emotional poison is so strong that you can't stand it any longer. You need help. So you go to a therapist, and you say, "I'm suffering so much. I'm full of anger, jealousy, envy. What he did is unforgivable. I hate that man." The therapist looks at you and says, "You need to release your emotions. You need to express your anger. What you should do is have a big tantrum, get a pillow, bite the pillow, hit the pillow, and release your anger." You go and have the biggest tantrum, and you release all these emotions. It really seems to work. You pay your therapist $100 and say, "Thank you very much, I feel much better." Finally, you have a big smile on your face. You walk out of the therapist's office, and guess who's driving through town? As soon as you see your ex-husband, the same anger comes up, but even worse. You have to run to the therapist again and pay another $100 for another tantrum. Releasing your emotions in this way is only a temporary solution. It may release some poison and make you feel better for a while, but it does not heal the wound. The only way to heal your wounds is through forgiveness. You have to forgive your ex-husband for the injustice. You will know you have forgiven someone when you see him and you don't feel anything anymore. When you can hear the name of the person and have no emotional reaction. When you can touch a wound and it doesn't hurt. Then you know you have truly forgiven. Of course, a scar is going to be there, just as it is on your skin. You will have a memory of what happened, of how you used to be. But once the wound has healed, it won't hurt you any longer. Perhaps you're thinking, "Well, it's easy to say we should forgive. I've tried, but I cannot do it." You have all these reasons, all these justifications why you cannot forgive. But this is not the truth. The truth is that you cannot forgive because you learned not to forgive, because you practiced not to forgive. There was a time when we were children, when forgiveness was our instinct. Before we caught the mental disease, it was effortless and natural to forgive. We used to forgive others almost right away. If you see two children playing together, and they start to fight and hit each other, the children cry and run to their mothers. "Hey, she hit me!" One mother goes to talk with the other mother, the two mothers have a big fight, and 5 minutes later the two children are playing together as if nothing had happened. Now the mothers hate each other for the rest of their lives. It is not that we need to learn forgiveness, because we are born with the capacity for forgiveness. But guess what happened? We learned the opposite behavior, and we practiced the opposite behavior. And now forgiveness is very difficult. Whoever does something to us, forget it. That's it. She's out of our life. It becomes a war of pride. Why? Because our personal importance grows when we don't forgive. It makes our opinion more important when we say, "Whatever she does, I will not forgive her. What she did is unforgivable." The real problem is pride. Because of pride, because of honor, we add more fire to the injustice to remind ourselves that we cannot forgive. Guess who's going to suffer and accumulate more and more emotional poison? We are going to suffer for all kinds of things people do around us, even though they have nothing to do with us. We also learn to suffer just to punish whoever abused us. we behave like a little child having a tantrum and asking for attention. We hurt ourselves just to say, "Look at what I'm doing because of you." It's a big joke, but that's exactly what we do. Go and find the little child in the corner having a tantrum. Take your pride and put it in the trash. You don't need it. Just let go of the personal importance and ask for forgiveness. Forgive others, and you will see miracles start to happen in your life. First, make a list of everyone you believe you need to ask for forgiveness. Then, ask them for forgiveness. Even if there is not enough time to call everyone, ask for their forgiveness in your prayers, through your dreams. Second, make a list of all the people who hurt you, all the people you need to forgive. Start with your parents, your brothers and sisters, your children, your spouse, your friends, your lover, your cat, your dog, your government, and God. Now you are going to forgive others by knowing that whatever anyone did to you had nothing to do with you. Everyone dreams her own dream, remember? The words and actions that hurt you are merely a reaction to the demons in that person's own mind. She is dreaming in hell, and you are a secondary character in her dream. Nothing anyone does is because of you. Once you have this awareness, and you do not take it personally, compassion and understanding will lead you to forgiveness. Start working on forgiveness. Start practicing forgiveness. It will be difficult at first, but then it becomes a habit. The only way to recover forgiveness is to practice again. You practice and practice, until in the end you can forgive yourself. At a certain point, you find that you must forgive yourself for all those wounds and all that poison you created for yourself in your own dream. When you forgive yourself, self-acceptance begins and self-love grows. That is the supreme forgiveness, when you finally forgive yourself. Create an act of power and forgive yourself for everything you have done in your whole life. And if you believe in past lives, forgive everything you believe you did in all of your past lives. The concept of karma is true only because we believe it is true. Because of our beliefs about being good and bad, we feel ashamed about what we believe is bad. We find ourselves guilty. We believe we deserve to be punished, and we punish ourselves. We have the belief that what we create is so dirty that it needs to be cleaned. And just because you believe it, then, thy will be done. It is real for you. You create your karma, and you have to pay for it. That is how powerful you are. To break old karma is simple. You just stop that belief by refusing to believe it, and the karma is gone. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to pay anything. It is over. If you can forgive yourself, the karma is gone just like that. From this point on, you can start all over again. Then life becomes easy. Because forgiveness is the only way to clean the emotional wounds. Forgiveness is the only way to heal them. Once we have cleaned the wounds, we are going to use a powerful medicine to accelerate the process of healing. Of course, the medicine also comes from the same great master. It is love. Love is the medicine that accelerates the process of healing. There is no other medicine but unconditional love. Not, "I love you if..." or "I love myself if." There is no if. There is no justification. There is no explanation. It is just to love. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. And love your enemies. This is simple, common sense, but we cannot love others until we love ourselves. That is why we must begin with self-love. There are millions of ways to express your happiness, but there is only one way to really be happy, and that is to love. You cannot be happy if you don't love yourself. That is a fact. If you don't love yourself, you don't have any opportunity to be happy. You cannot share what you do not have. If you do not love yourself, you cannot love anyone else either. But you can have a need for love, and if there's someone who needs you, that's what humans call love. Don't lie to yourself. That is not love. It is possessiveness. It is selfishness. It is control with no respect, not love. Love coming out of you is the only way to be happy. Unconditional love for yourself. Complete surrender to that love for yourself. You no longer resist life. You no longer reject yourself. You no longer carry all that blame and guilt. You just accept who you are and accept everyone else the way he or she is. You have the right to love, to smile, to be happy, to share your love, and to not be afraid to receive it also. That is the healing. Three simple points: the truth, forgiveness, and self-love. With these three points, the whole world will heal and will no longer be a mental hospital. These three keys to heal the mind were given to us by Jesus, but he is not the only one who taught us how to heal. Buddha did the same. Krishna did the same. Many other masters came to the same conclusions and gave us these same lessons. All around the world, from Japan to Mexico to Peru to Egypt to Greece, there were humans who were healed. They saw that the disease is in the human mind, and they used these three methods: the truth, forgiveness, and self-love. If we can see our state of mind as a disease, we find there is a cure. We don't have to suffer any longer. If we are aware that our mind is sick, that our emotional body is wounded, we can also heal. Just imagine if all humans could start being truthful with themselves, start forgiving everyone, and start loving everyone. If all humans loved in this way, they would no longer be selfish. They would be open to give and receive, and they would no longer judge each other. Gossiping would be over, and the emotional poison would simply dissolve. Now we are talking about a completely different dream of the planet. It doesn't look like the planet Earth. This is what Jesus called heaven on earth, Buddha called Nirvana, and Moses called the Promised Land. It is a place where all of us can live in love because we put our attention on love. We choose to love. We can choose the dream we want to live in. We have the tools in our hands to heal ourselves. The question is, what are we going to do with them?
Chapter 12. God Within You. You are the force that plays with your mind and uses your body as its favorite toy to play and have fun with. That is the reason you are here, to play and have fun. We are born with the right to be happy, with the right to enjoy life. We are not here to suffer. Whoever wants to suffer is welcome to suffer, but we don't have to suffer. Then why do we suffer? Because the whole world suffers, and we make the assumption that suffering is normal. Then we create a belief system to support that. Our religions tell us that we came here to suffer, that life is a valley of tears. Suffer today, have patience, and when you die, you will have your reward. Sounds beautiful, but it isn't true. We choose to suffer because we learned to suffer. If we continue to make the same choices, we will continue to suffer. The dream of the planet carries the story of humanity, the evolution of humans, and suffering is the result of human evolution. Humans suffer because we know. We know what we believe. We know all those lies. And because we can't fulfill all those lies, we suffer. It's not true that you go to hell or to heaven after you die. You live in hell or you live in heaven, but now. Heaven and hell only exist in the level of the mind. If we suffer now, when we die, we still suffer, because the mind doesn't die with the brain. The dream continues, and when our dream is hell, our brain dies, and we are still dreaming in the same hell. The only difference between being dead and being asleep is that when we are sleeping, we can awake because we have a brain. When we are dead, we cannot awake because we don't have a brain, but the dream is there. Heaven or hell is here and now. You don't need to wait to die. If you take responsibility for your own life, for your own actions, then your future is in your hands and you can live in heaven while the body is alive. The dream most humans create on this planet is obviously hell. This isn't right or wrong or good or bad, and there is no one to blame. Can we blame our parents? No. They did the best they could when they programmed you as a little child. Their own parents did the same with them, the best they could. If you have children, you couldn't know what else to do either. How can you blame yourself? To become aware doesn't mean you need to blame anyone or carry guilt for what you've done. How can we carry guilt or blame for a mental disease that is seriously contagious? Everything that exists is perfect. You are perfect just the way you are. That is the truth. You are a master. Even if you master anger and jealousy, your anger and jealousy are perfect. Even if you have a big drama going on in your life, it's perfect. It's beautiful. You can go to a movie like Gone with the Wind and cry for all that drama. Who says that hell is not beautiful? Hell can inspire you. Even hell is perfect because only perfection exists. It is only knowledge that makes us believe we are not perfect. Knowledge is nothing more than a description of the dream. The dream is not real, so knowledge isn't real either. Wherever knowledge comes from, it is only real from one point of perception. Once you shift the perception, it is no longer real. We are never going to find ourselves with our knowledge. In the end, that is what we are looking for, to find ourselves, to be ourselves, to live our own life, instead of the life of the parasite or the program. It isn't knowledge that will lead us to ourselves, it is wisdom. We have to make a distinction between knowledge and wisdom because they are not the same. The main way to use knowledge is to communicate with each other, to agree on what we perceive. Knowledge is the only tool we have to communicate because humans hardly communicate heart to heart. What is important is how we use our knowledge, because we become the slaves of knowledge and we are no longer free. Wisdom has nothing to do with knowledge. It has to do with freedom. When you are wise, you are free to use your own mind and run your own life. A healthy mind is free of the parasite. It is free again the way it was before domestication. When you heal your mind, when you break free of the dream, you are no longer innocent, but wise. You become just like a child again in many ways, except for one big difference. A child is innocent, and that's why he can fall into suffering and unhappiness. The one who transcends the dream is wise. That is why she doesn't fall anymore, because now she knows. She also has knowledge of the dream. You don't need to accumulate knowledge to become wise. Anyone can become wise. Anyone. When you become wise, life becomes easy because you become who you really are. It's difficult to try to be what you are not, to try to convince yourself and everyone else that you are what you are not. Trying to be what you are not expends all your energy. Being what you are doesn't require any effort. When you become wise, you don't have to use all those images you created. You don't have to pretend to be something else. You accept yourself the way you are, and the complete acceptance of yourself becomes the complete acceptance of everyone else. You no longer try to change other people or impose your point of view. You respect other people's beliefs. You accept your body and your own humanity with all the instincts of your body. There is nothing wrong with being an animal. We are animals, and animals always follow their instinct. We are humans, and because we are so intelligent, we learn to repress our instincts. We don't listen to what comes from the heart. That's why we go against our own body and try to repress the needs of the body or deny they exist. This is not wise. When you become wise, you respect your body, you respect your mind, you respect your soul. When you become wise, your life is controlled by your heart, not your head. You no longer sabotage yourself, your own happiness, or your own love. You no longer carry all that guilt and blame. You no longer have all those judgments against yourself, and you no longer judge anyone else. From that moment on, all the beliefs that make you unhappy, that push you to struggle in life, that make your life difficult, just vanish. Surrender all those ideas about being what you are not and become what you really are. When you surrender to your nature, to what you really are, you no longer suffer. When you surrender to the real you, you surrender to life. You surrender to God. Once you surrender, there is no longer a struggle. There is no resistance. There is no suffering. Being wise, you always go for the easy way, which is to be yourself, whatever you are. Suffering is nothing but resistance to God. The more you resist, the more you suffer. It is simple. Imagine that from one day to another, you awake from the dream and you are completely healthy. You no longer have wounds, you no longer have emotional poison. Imagine the freedom you are going to experience. Everything is going to make you happy just to be alive wherever you go. Why? Because the healthy human being is not afraid to express love. You are not afraid to be alive. You are not afraid to love. Imagine how you would live your life, how you would treat the people you are close to if you no longer had those wounds and that poison in your emotional body. In the mystery schools around the world, this is called the awakening. It is as if you awake one day and you no longer have emotional wounds. When you no longer have those wounds in the emotional body, the boundaries disappear and you start to see everything as it is, not according to your belief system. When you open your eyes and you don't have those wounds, you become a skeptic. Not to increase your personal importance by telling everyone how intelligent you are or to make fun of other people who believe in all those lies. No, when you awake, you become a skeptic because it's clear in your eyes that the dream is not true. You open your eyes, you are awake, and everything becomes obvious. When you awake, you cross a line of no return, and you never see the world in the same way. You are still dreaming, because you cannot avoid dreaming, because dreaming is the function of the mind. But the difference is that you know it's a dream. Knowing that, you can enjoy the dream or suffer the dream. That depends on you. The awakening is like being at a party where there are thousands of people and everyone is drunk except you. You are the only sober person in the party. That is the awakening, because the truth is that most humans see the world through their emotional wounds, through their emotional poison. They don't have the awareness that they are living in a dream of hell. They aren't aware that they are living in a dream, just as fish swimming in water are not aware that they are living in water. When we awake, and we are the only sober person in the party where everyone is drunk, we can have compassion because we were drunk too. We don't need to judge, not even people in hell, because we too were in hell. When you awake, your heart is an expression of the spirit, an expression of love, an expression of life. The awakening is when you have the awareness that you are life. When you are aware that you are the force that is life, anything is possible. Miracles happen all the time because those miracles are performed by the heart. The heart is in direct communion with the human soul. And when the heart speaks, even with the resistance of the head, something inside you changes. Your heart opens another heart, and true love is possible. The teachings that come from India, from the Toltecs, the Christians, the Greeks, from societies all over the world, come from the same truth. They talk about reclaiming your divinity and finding God within you. They talk about having your heart completely open and becoming wise. Can you imagine what kind of world this would be if all humans opened their hearts and found the love inside? Of course we can do it. Everyone can do it in his own way. It's not about following any imposed idea. It's about finding yourself and expressing yourself in your own particular way. That is why your life is an art. Toltec means artist of the spirit. The Toltec are the ones who can express with the heart, the ones who have unconditional love. You are alive because of the power of God, which is the power of life. You are the force that is life, but because you are able to think at the level of the mind, you forget what you really are. Then it's easy to see someone else and say, "Oh, there is God. God will be responsible for everything. God will save me." No, God has just come to tell you, to tell the God in you, to be aware, to make a choice, to have the courage to work through all your fears and change them so you are no longer afraid of love. The fear of love is one of the biggest fears that humans have. Why? Because in the dream of the planet, a broken heart means, poor me. Perhaps you wonder, if we are truly life or God, why don't we know it? Because we are programmed not to know. We are taught, you are a human, these are your limitations. Then we limit our possibilities by our own fears. Humans are powerful magicians. When you believe you are what you are, then that is what you are. And you can do that because you are life, God, intent. You have the power to make yourself what you are right now. But it's not your reasoning mind that controls your power. It's what you believe. Humans create their own boundaries, their own limitations. We say what is humanly possible and what is not possible. Then, just because we believe it, it becomes truth for us. The prophecies of the Toltec have foreseen the beginning of a new world, a new humanity where humans take responsibility for their own beliefs, for their own lives. The time is coming when you will become your own guru. You don't need other humans to tell you what the will of God is. Now it's you and God, face to face, without any intermediary. You were searching for God, and you found God within you. God is no longer there outside you. When you know that the power that is life is inside you, you accept your own divinity, and yet you are humble because you see the same divinity in everyone else. You see how easy it is to understand God because everything is a manifestation of God. The body is going to die. The mind is going to dissolve also, but not you. You are immortal. You exist for billions of years in different manifestations because you are life, and life cannot die. You are in the trees, the butterflies, the fish, the air, the moon, the sun. Wherever you go, you are there, waiting for yourself. Your body is a temple, a living temple where God lives. Your mind is a living temple where God lives. God is living within you as life. The proof that God lives within you is that you are alive. Your life is the proof. You don't have to do anything to reach God, to reach enlightenment, to awaken. There's only one living being, and wanted or not, resisted or not, effortlessly you are with God already. The only thing left is to enjoy your life, to be alive, to heal your emotional body so you can create your life in such a way that you openly share all the love inside you. The whole world can love you, but that love will not make you happy. What will make you happy is the love coming out of you. That is the love that will make a difference. You are always free to love. If your choice is to be in a relationship and your partner is playing the same game, what a gift. When your relationship is completely out of hell, you will love yourselves so much that you don't need each other at all. By your own will, you get together and create beauty. And what the two of you are going to create is a dream of heaven. You have already mastered fear and self-rejection. Now you are returning to self-love. You can be so strong and so powerful that with your self-love you transform your personal dream from fear to love, from suffering to happiness. Then, just like the sun, you are giving light and giving love all the time, with no conditions. When you love with no conditions, you the human and you the God align with the spirit of life moving through you. Your life becomes the expression of the beauty of the spirit. Life is nothing but a dream. And if you create your life with love, your dream becomes a masterpiece of art.
Please take a moment to close your eyes, open your heart, and feel all the love that's coming from your heart. I want you to join me in a special prayer to experience a communion with our Creator. Focus your attention on your lungs, as if only your lungs existed. Feel the pleasure when your lungs expand to fulfill the biggest need of the human body, to breathe. Take a deep breath, and feel the air as it fills your lungs. Feel how the air is made of love. Notice the connection between the air and the lungs, a connection of love. Expand your lungs with air until your body has the need to expel that air. Then exhale and feel the pleasure again. When we fulfill any need of the human body, it gives us pleasure. To breathe gives us pleasure. Just to breathe is enough for us, to always be happy. To enjoy life. Just to be alive is enough. Feel the pleasure of being alive, the pleasure of the feeling of love.
Today, Creator of the Universe, we ask that you open our heart and open our eyes so we can enjoy all of your creations and live in eternal love with you. Help us to see you in everything we perceive with our eyes, with our ears, with our heart, with all our senses. Let us perceive with eyes of love so that we find you wherever we go and see you in everything you create. Let us see you in every cell of our body, in every emotion of our mind, in every dream, in every flower, in every person we meet. You cannot hide from us because you are everywhere. And we are one with you. Let us be aware of this truth. Let us be aware of our power to create a dream of heaven where everything is possible. Help us to use our imagination to guide the dream of our life, the magic of our creation, so we can live without fear, without anger, without envy. Give us a light to follow, and let today be the day that our search for love and happiness is over. Today, let everything we do and say be an expression of the beauty in our heart. Help us to be the way you are, to love the way you love, to share the way you share, to create a masterpiece of beauty and love, the same way that all of your creations are masterpieces of beauty and love. Beginning today and gradually over time, help us to increase the power of our love so that we may create a masterpiece of art, our own life. Today, Creator, we give you all of our gratitude and love because you have given us life. Amen.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.